Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday night, and once more, that slap of the bass means it's time for the weekend wrap. Surveying the squared circle. Well, we're going to be have a very special guest at behalf of our Mark. Mr. Ernie Haynes is going to join us. He's the CEO of Team Certified, and he's going to tell us a little bit about our Team Certified got started, give us a little bit about his background, and of course we're going to discuss the fights. Looking for the professor to join us soon, and right now we're going to start out, of course, as we do usually in the program with Mr. John Scully, and kind of find out what was happening. I know there was some good fights up in the Connecticut area. Mr. Saladin was the headliner. That's for those of you who don't know, he is considered, I believe his nickname is the Hebrew Hammer. But yeah, let's talk a little bit with Scully and see what he thought about this weekend's action. Scully, how you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How you guys doing?
Oh, doing great, man. Doing great. Before we start talking about some of the other things, were you up in Connecticut for some of the fights this weekend, or did you happen to go a little further?
I actually was here for the Golden Gloves on Saturday early, and then I left for the casino. There was fights on Saturday night. Guy by the name of Cletus Seldon, he fought, and kid from Hartford named Anthony Laureano, he fought, up and coming kid. So I was basically pretty busy with the Golden Gloves on Saturday.
So you did get to see Cletus's performance?
Yeah, well, it only lasted like 30 seconds.
Yeah,
it was a quick knockout.
What do you think about this kid, the Hebrew Hammer, Scully? I mean, I know he's well known up around in your area, but are we going to get to see him like kind of expand to maybe the next level?
Well, I mean, I've sparred with him before. He's a real scrappy guy, really confident. He's been on HBO twice so far. One win and his one loss was on HBO. He's an exciting guy. He's definitely gonna, he'll make a name for himself just because he's kind of cocky and he hits hard and he's got like a little bit of a story to him. You know what I mean? He's cocky and a little bit colorful, and his fans are certainly colorful. They were quite a show. They put on quite a show in the audience last night. So, I would say you're going to hear from him for sure.
Yeah, we've had him on our Tuesday show. I believe his nickname, the Hebrew Hammer, isn't it?
Right.
I think that's what he's
called. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your Golden Gloves. You had mentioned before. What's the crop look like? What's the idea? Any idea on this? IOC battle, kind of sum up what's going on. With you guys, on a local and state level first.
Right. Well, our Golden Gloves, our local Golden Gloves, the Western New England tournament, The finals are this coming Saturday. So I have one boxer. I have the welterweight, a welterweight in the final. So if he wins, whoever wins goes to the New England tournament in a few weeks at Lowell, Massachusetts. The New England Golden Gloves tournament is, it's been going on for 70 years, and I won it 3 times. And but you had, Rocky Marciano, Marvin Hagler, Marlon Starling, Mike Tyson, Bobby Stewart, those type of guys, Joey Gamache, Mickey Ward, they all won the Golden Gloves at some point in Lowell. So it's a very historic tournament, and so my guys got to win this coming Saturday to get there. And but things are looking good. We've got a pretty strong region, and I expect New England to produce a very solid team this year.
You went through quite a list of names there. Are you expecting any of those guys to show up for the tournament? I know, you guys usually get together, when you have the amateur bouts and whatnot. Are you expecting to see any old friends there?
Yeah, well, Mickey's always there. He still lives in Lowell, so he's always at the Golden Gloves. He'll be there. Dickie Eklund will be there. Different guys. I was hoping Joey Gamache would come, but I assume you guys heard Joey got hurt a couple weeks ago. He got attacked outside the gym in New York. They're still trying to find the guy who did it. So he obviously won't be there. But I hear that he's doing better. So that's a good sign. But I expect probably Robbie Sims would probably be there. I'm going to see if Marlon Starling wants to go. He'll probably go. And it should be good. Ray Oliveira, I think, would probably come. But Mickey's the one I know for sure. Mickey's always there. He always makes it.
I think we were talking about your Ring 10 project, the run. How did that come and go?
It looks like it's set. We're just trying to seal a couple things up, but I got word actually yesterday that I should go ahead and start getting things situated. So I'm anticipating that's going to be the last Saturday in April in the Bronx. I invited all the guys obviously from New England and New York, but I've invited Angel Manfredi to come in, and Jerry Page, and Tyrell Biggs, and Kelly Pavlik. I've invited quite a few guys, so I'm hoping that everybody makes it. The weather, it'll be the springtime, the weather will be good, and we can hang out in the city for the whole weekend. And so I'll know more probably this week. I should know more definitively exactly what's going to happen. But as of right now, I'm expecting this event to go down the end of April.
Okay. There's a couple of things that's been announced, of course. The Norris says that he wants to fight on, but it just won't be a junior middleweight. Scully, what do you think about that? I mean, he just got knocked out, TKO, in the first round, and now he's talking about, not fighting as a junior. I mean, even going down in weight, he's still facing some heavy hitters. What's your thought on Lenars?
Well, I mean, you're talking about which Lenars? You're talking about the one that fought Lomachenko, and then he got stopped by another guy the other day.
Yeah, Jose.
Yeah. Okay. So he, all the weight classes right now are looking pretty tough, getting stopped at any weight, is obviously not a good thing. It raises some questions. So, I just suggest he take a little bit of a rest and really think about it. A lot of times, always, when people suffer a loss, or especially a knockout loss, they always say things right after the fight, or a few days after the fight. It's because, they're still reeling from the event, and they don't really they don't think it out. So you really need to take a few weeks, a month, and really put things in perspective and see where he goes from there. So, you know, I don't take much of what guys say right after the fight to heart. You know, I like to give them a month and give them time to really think it out and then see what they have to say.
Fair enough. They say that Adonis is now up walking and speaking after the brain injury and you know, the crushing defeat. Have you? excuse me. I know you keep track of a lot of our fighters north of the border. Have you heard anything?
He's on with Adonis.
Yes.
You mean with Adonis? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I heard. Well, his girlfriend says that he apparently is recognizing people and is, you know, you know, she seemed to really put a positive spin on it in the last day or so. So I mean, I'm certain he's not out of the woods 100%, but her indications are that he's definitely improved over the last week or so. Things are definitely looking up for him at this point.
You know, kind of staying on that, we saw Marcus Brown with his victory over Badu Jack. Any, you know, plans or have you heard anything about, you know, possible match between your fighter and Brown?
No, it hasn't. They haven't brought anything up as far as that goes that I've heard. You know, because the fact is, and again, I know we've talked about this before, but, you know, I just want people to understand that regardless of what they say, he's not WBA champion. Dimitri Bivol is the WBA light heavyweight champion, not Marcus Brown. I mean, they can call him whatever they want. They can give him a belt if they want. But the fact is, he's not the WBA champion. So Arthur, you know, at this point is not looking to fight the guy that's kind of like the second place champ. I mean, if we're going to fight anybody, it'd be Dimitri. But Dimitri, as I understand it, is fighting Joe Smith in a fight that we were supposed to have with Arthur. But they, you know, they moved in and got the fight with Joe. So I don't know what's going to happen. You know, Arthur wants to fight very soon, so it would be quicker than Marcus would be able to be ready anyway. So so for the time being, I don't think Marcus is on the radar.
I was going to ask you about that, how, you know, all of a sudden Joe Smith is back in, you know, talking about a fight, but it's with somebody else other than Benavidez. So I was kind of wondering about that, but I guess you
it
know
just,
about
it.
As
just
much.
Shows you how it just shows you how the boxing game is. I mean, it's like, you know, we're here getting ready to go, and he's fighting Joe. Arthur's fighting Joe, and next thing you know, they're like, no. Bivol's fighting Joe. So you know, that's the boxing game. There's constantly things going on behind the scenes, and apparently, you know, even when there's a fight supposedly set, there's always somebody trying to finagle their way in and make a better deal. And, you know, it really is a cutthroat, kind of a dirty business. And it's, you know, it's not for everybody on the business side, that's for sure.
Scotty, I mean, you know, I understand, you know, like boxing has made certain evolutions in, you know, the technique and equipment and things like that. But how do you compare the ruthlessness of the business of today's boxing when back, you know, when you were in your prime?
You know, it's like war. It's like war in that today isn't necessarily more ruthless than it was in World War One. It's just different strategies to be ruthless by, to get it done. You know, nowadays with the internet and all these different media outlets and different television outlets, and it's just different ways to get ahead in the game and take over and things like that. So the game, I don't think it's dirtier or less dirty than it ever was. It's just the way things are done now are being changed. You know, as technology changes and as the landscape changes, people within the game learn different ways to maneuver and finagle and get things done. You know, so there's always going to be a way to be a criminal or to be dirty or deceitful. It's just the, you know, sign of the times. Things change and they just do it a little bit differently. That's all.
Did you get a chance to review any of the Thurman fight today?
I saw parts of it. Yeah. You know, I think it's funny. Like, I see people and a lot of people were kind of like, oh, well, you know, he better not fight Spence. He better not fight this one. You know, he'll get demolished. And I'm like, listen, relax. The guy just came back. He came back against a very solid guy. He was off for what, like 2 years? You know, I mean, that's a long layoff. But to come back against a very solid guy like Josepito, I mean, you got to give him credit for that. Most guys, you know, they wouldn't want to come back. They would come back in strictly a tune-up fight. And Josecito's not a tune-up fight. So, you know, all things considered, Keith looked pretty good for a guy who hasn't fought in 2 years. And I think he'll be back in the swing of things after another fight or two.
Okay, you mentioned another fight or two. He says he wants to fight Pacquiao. Considering,
right.
That was what Pacquiao's first bout back, excuse me, in the United States, not necessarily, you know, his first bout. I think he's fought twice in the 22 months that Keith has been out. But anyway, is that a good fight for Keith at this particular time, or would you, as you said, you know, another warm-up or two?
Right. I mean, I would think, regardless of what they say, what a manager or a trainer or a promoter says, you know, as a boxing person, you want to be ready. You want to do whatever the best you can to be ready for the situation, not just to grab the situation and grab the money. And, you know, so I would think, like, as a business person, you might want to say, okay, Keith, let's grab the fight. If it's on the table, let's grab it before we lose it, or before something happens and he retires or he gives it to somebody else and he loses, grab the fight. But as a trainer, I would say, let's take at least another fight, you know, and get situated, get acclimated, get comfortable again, and then go after him. So that's a problem, you know, within the boxing game. You know, a lot of people think, like, you have your team, you have your fighter, your manager, your trainer, your promoter, and that they're all on the same page all the time. And they always come out at the press conferences, you know, like a team, but behind the scenes, they can't possibly all be on the same team. I mean, they're four different minds, and the trainer, you know, certainly has a different mindset than a manager might have at a particular time. So, you know, I think, it's just a matter of getting everybody on the same page and agreeing with what to do. But as a trainer myself and as a former fighter, I would think Keith would want another fight. You know, in his heart of hearts, I would think he would want one more fight to get a little more acclimated to the game again.
We didn't get a chance to talk to you last week about the Pac-Man Broner fight. Everyone knows I'm not a big fan of Broner, but I got to ask you, Scully, what did you think of Broner's performance against Pacquiao? And more importantly, the press conference afterwards, if you had a chance to see or any parts of it.
Yeah. Well, to me, the fight went, like, literally, like you would think it would go, you know, if you know the game and you know him, you know, because he's a guy. I mean, he used to be so talented. He really did. I mean, he was good in his best days, but he's just talk and he's talk and he's talk and he he hasn't backed it up for the longest time. I don't know why people are surprised that he didn't back it up this time. You know, he's become almost like a caricature of himself, you know, just saying what he has to say to sell the fight. I don't even think he believes it anymore. It doesn't appear to be. You know, Pacquiao went in there and did what he does. Pacquiao is 40 years old, but he still looks good to me. He still looks sharp. He's still a problem. And, you know, Adrian is a guy who probably is going to be remembered as someone who had superior talent, but didn't have the temperament and the mentality to really carry that as far as he could have taken it.
Do you feel that we've seen the last of Broner in a big meaningful fight? You know, I'm sure he probably stick. You know, if they pay him, he'll probably stick around because he's about billions. But anyway, do you see another you know, big fight on Broner's horizon? I mean, you know, this was one of the problems that the Charlos had, always being on the undercard with Broner, but Broner continuously losing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I can't, you know, boxing is a funny game because with the way he's performed and just his attitude and his out-of-the-ring antics and everything, I was surprised he got the last few fights that he did. I was surprised that he's making so much money. I don't know where that money's coming from. I'm amazed that he's such a big draw. He must be because they're paying him well. I'm amazed that people are going for this. I don't know if it's a thing where real boxing fans aren't really the ones paying, because I can't see like real boxing people falling for this and going for this. So it's got to be a different demographic that's paying to see him and put him out there. But at this point, I don't know how he could do it, you know, unless he was to come back and win a couple lesser fights and look good doing it and keep himself. You know, how many times do you have to be fooled by a guy where he promises this? And the thing ultimately was, and I mean this, it's going to sound funny to some people, but I mean this, like his interview after the fight and the way he thought he won. And if you couple that with things he's done, you know, in a Burger King bathroom and, you know, at the checkout at the airport and all these different things, I'm thinking maybe there's something wrong with this guy, that people are just thinking he's funny or he's a little crazy in a funny way. You know, maybe there's an issue. Maybe there's a bipolar. Maybe he's bipolar. Maybe he's got psychological issues because, you know, he does these things and they're not funny. People like it. They're that TMZ crowd that loves it. I'm not amused by it. I think it's alarming, actually, that he does these things in public. Anybody else doing these things in public would either get a beat down or they'd be in jail. But he gets away with all the stupid stuff. And, you know, maybe there's an issue because, you know, and it sounds funny. People think I'm joking. But, I mean, to have that fight and to insist that you won that fight, you got to be a little crazy. There's got to be some kind of little issue going on for you to, because you're there. You're in the fight. You know what happened. And now you've seen it on video after. If you think you won that fight, or if he's got people around him telling him that he won the fight, they should be fired. They should be thrown off the team, you know, for spreading this kind of craziness. But, you know, I'm thinking maybe there's something more than meets the eye with this guy. There might be some issues that need to be addressed by someone other than a boxing coach.
Yeah, I think he may have some issues too, but hey, you know, like I said, he's from Cincinnati, so you know, I kind of always just blame that on the Aaron Pryor syndrome. Let's talk about what you think about the changing the opponent was changed and the other, the location was changed. And I'm talking about now, it seems like instead of having a Flores fight, we're going to have Santa Cruz against Rivera as Flores pulls out with an ankle injury. And the other fight that I'm talking about is Sean Porter and the Ugas fight being moved from Vegas out here to the StubHub Center. I know, you know, that there hasn't been really given any formal explanation, but I'm thinking the StubHub has a reputation for putting on some very, what they call action fights. And, you know, maybe this is the reason why they moved it out here. You know, just kind of your thoughts in general.
Right. I mean, I'm not really familiar with the situation. I don't know really why they did it, why they moved it. But I'll say this much. I've been to fights at the StubHub Center. It's a really cool place. It's a really good place to have a fight. And, you know, you can't go wrong out there. There was a great crowd. And that arena is a unique arena. It's very, very – I really like it. I really like it a lot. I love to go to fights there. So I don't know, you know, as far as the logistics with money. And I would assume ultimately that decisions like that come down to finances ultimately, you know, whether it's ticket sales or something going on in the city at that time. I don't know. But I actually spoke to Sean the other day because kind of bad timing. I'm going to be in Las Vegas that weekend, and I'm going to have some of my amateurs with me, and I wanted them to meet him. And I said, oh, man, you know, I'm going to be out there, and I'm going to have my guys. I'd love to have him meet you. He goes, oh, yeah, no problem. And then when I told him the date, he said, oh, I'm sorry, but I'll be out of state that day. I'm fighting that day. So too bad for us because my kids would have been very excited to meet him. So timing didn't work out.
And what did you think about the Santa Cruz the new opponent since Flores hurt his ankle?
You know, to be honest with you, I hadn't even heard about that. I'm not even familiar with what happened. I don't even know. You have to shed some light on that for me. I didn't hear about it.
Leo Santa Cruz, instead of fighting Flores, he's going to be fighting Rivera now because Flores was due with an ankle injury.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not really familiar with it. I'm not really familiar with that fight, so I can't really say. I don't really know, to be honest with you.
All right, Scully. Well, hey, man. Good luck. Was it next Saturday with your guy in the Golden Gloves tournament?
Right. This coming Saturday is the local Golden Glove finals. Yep.
Okay. Well, you want to give us your final thoughts and make sure everybody knows where they can find you on social media?
Yes, sir. Always on Facebook. I have Iceman John Scully on one Facebook page, and I have John the Iceman Scully on the other page. So you can find me on either one. You can, if you can't friend request me, you can follow me, and you'll still be able to watch everything. And then on Instagram, Iceman John Scully, and Twitter, Iceman John Scully. So you'll always be able to find me on there. I've got to always have my boxing stuff going on all day and night. So, and that's it. Just, you know, my big, like I say, like I told you last week, I'm looking to do a reunion. I'll seal it up pretty soon, the end of April in the Bronx, New York. So just all the former boxers out there listening, just if you're in the eastern part of the United States, look at the last week in April in the Bronx. We're looking to do a big event for everybody to get together and hang out together. So I'll have more information within a week or two, and we can seal everything up.
All right, Scully, thank you so much, man. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you. Good night.
All right. The Iceman, as usual, always filling in some of the blanks. But speaking of filling in the blanks, here's the professor. Professor, how's it going this week? Yeah. I know he hears me out there, but that's all right.
It's the headset.
Oh, okay. So, how's everything going out there this week, sir? I know our weather is certainly warmed up here in San Diego, but I look at this weather map and it looks like y'all might be a little cold.
Well, actually, today it wasn't bad, but then the last week, yeah, we had some frigid days, most part, but can't complain because it brought out boxing, you know.
I hear you. Speaking of, some of the things that we're going to talk about, some fights and whatnot over this next hour or so. So I have invited the CEO of Team Certified, Mr. Ernie Haynes. He's from Milwaukee, I believe Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He'll certainly tell us about all of that during the course of the interview and our discussion. But let's welcome Mr. Ernie Haynes to the show. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Oh, pretty good. And yourself? Thank you for having me.
No problem. I have my co-host on the line there, Mr. DeBron Clemens, a.k.a. the professor. He deals out of Brooklyn, New York, right up there by the Barclays Center, but always has his finger on the pulse of boxing also. So we welcome you to the show.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it's some grown folk business going on this show tonight then, huh?
Yes, sir. Now, I introduced you as the CEO of Team Certified, but before we talk about Team Certified, let's talk a little bit about yourself, your background in boxing, and, were you one of those troubled kids running around the neighborhood trying to beat up everybody, too?
Well, no, I'm originally from Gary, Indiana, and that's where I started my boxing career at. And actually, I was pretty much a small kid, and I got bullied. And as a result of me getting bullied, my parents, they took me to a boxing gym that was owned and ran by the Gary Police Athletic League. And that's where I got my start, and I started maybe about when I was 10 years old at the time. And I fought all the way up until I was maybe about 20, 21, up in there. And I wanted to go professional. And I just couldn't clear physical with the heart murmur and stuff like that. So I had a few events going on with my health. So I just became a civilian once again, but you know, I always had love for the sport. Got married, started a family, children, started getting bullied in school. And that's an interesting look when you see a child comes home with a confused look on his face after getting his head whipped up in school, you know. And you look at your child, you feel bad for him. So, you know, the wife started bugging me about teaching the kids how to defend themselves. So I taught my sons how to defend themselves. And sure enough, the bullying ended. And so my children, they wanted to go ahead and continue to box. Well, my youngest son. So I took him to the Al Moreland Boxing Club here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And fortunately, he was already competition ready when I brought him to the gym. And that's when the brother of late Al Moreland Boxing Club, his name is Thomas Moreland, asked me to become a coach. So I agreed, became a coach for a few years. And then a lot of the fighters that I was training up under him became adults and they wanted to turn professional. So I noticed it wasn't much of a boxing scene in a professional area here in Wisconsin. So I put together my little savings and started investing in these young athletes. Because, you know, the amateur system here, it's financially is popped, meaning, you know, it's just, it doesn't have the funds to move the athletes around. And unfortunately, that's becoming common around the country now. And here we go. I performed team certified. And it's basically formed for the underdog and the underrepresented, because we do have some world-class championship fighters back up in these gyms, but they LBCs, they local boxing clubs just didn't have the monies to get them to the national tournaments and things like that to get them recognized and ranked in amateurs. So, you know, when they turn pro, they can attract those big promoters like the Golden Boys and the Mayweather promotions and things like that, you know. So, and here we are. All started from bullying.
Now, you know, you spoke of the police athletic league that you grew up with, and I'm familiar with them, and some of the other, you know, we used to have the firemen to sponsor, you know, an amateur boxing club,
mm-hmm.
You know, the Lions Club, some of the missions, you know, we had some of the, you know, Pearl Street Mission in Youngstown and a few other missions, you know, that sponsored boxing. It seems to have went the same way in Wisconsin and, as you say, many parts of the country. Do you see in this booming economy that we're constantly being told that we have, do you see any of these programs possibly being reinstated in the neighborhood? One of the things that I've noticed out here in California, I can go to the barrio and you know, see people boxing and different boxing gyms, but you know, when you come into the inner city, you see less facilities open to the kids. And if you come in, you know, and if you go into the actual city itself, you see more concentration on MMA and other sports than boxing.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on that, sir?
Well, with the with going to the barrios and things like that, and you know, and a lot of states, you know, the South Side of each, you know, state is usually, you know, compiled of the Spanish community. But, you know, the Spanish community is, you know, they are normally very family orientated, and they actually go above and beyond to support one another. And within our community, a lot of the reasons why some of these programs has failed is because the lack of support is there. I don't understand why. It may be because a lot of the parents is busy working two jobs or whatnot, have it. And it's just in a togetherness. It's just not there as much as it should be. You know, with all the things that we've gone through as African Americans in this country, you know, it seems like we should be more tight-knit than what we are currently are today. And that's going to be one of the issues, one of many, actually, that we're having. It's just the lack of support and the lack of participation in these sports. So what they do, what the government does, is by us not using those funds, you know, they just divert them elsewhere. And usually the Spanish community, you know, they take those funds and they will utilize those funds to the fullest and plus their own resources. And that's why we see, you know, a predominant presence of our Spanish brothers and sisters in the sport today.
How do you go about choosing members for team certified. I know, not everyone that, maybe ask, like they say, few are maybe chosen. Is there a particular type of individual that you look for to join your team in order to make success mutual?
Actually, that's good if you ask that question. A team certified, we don't recruit anyone. People that's looking for help, they come to us and ask us for help. We don't make phone calls and try to recruit other fighters or anything. If they see what we like, they usually give us a call and ask if they could help. Now, we do have some behavioral rules, though. We don't allow the boisterous talk, no criminal activity whatsoever, and you're basically coming through our doors with 2.5 strikes already, because we just have no time for nonsense. There's nothing out here funny anymore, not for our people, at least, to say at the least, rather. We will do what we can to help an individual out. We do look at their work ethic. If they have a strong work ethic, we'll pay closer attention to them. But if they shucking and jiving and stuff like that, we'll just stay silent and eventually they'll fade off on their own. But no, we don't recruit. We just let them come to us and say, hey, can you help me? And we, we'll say, yeah, we'll help you until you step off. We don't walk away from anybody. We let them walk away from us. As they have a good work ethic and they want something and they believe that they're going to be something, we'll stand with them. We are a support group.
What about, education and, possibly things like that, if you have a promising young man, but he might need some help with his GED, he might need some help, trying to take some of his exams or something like that. I don't want to say necessarily an after-school program, but do you have connections where you could possibly point him in the right direction?
Yes, well, I know here in Wisconsin we have a program a gentleman that I know, his name is Morris Brazil, and he helps Team Certified out quite a bit. If we're registered with the TMJ program, it's like almost, it's not a Big Brother program, but it's like a reinstatement work program. And if a fighter comes to us and he has like child support obligations and things like that, what Team Certified will do is we will hire that person on our staff. And the county will enter him into the program, which they have resume writing programs, driver's license recovery programs, and things like that. There's criteria that you have to fit to enter this program, and you will receive, payment for working for Team Certified every 2 weeks while getting yourself together. They even have a credit repair program within this program that Team Certified is registered with within the state. And so we do help the community out as much as we can if they want the help. And it sounds easy, but unfortunately it's not, because a lot of people just, they just don't have the patience to, go through a few things like writing a resume, and taking a resume classes and taking, registering for GED and studying and things like that. I understand, things moving fast out here in the world, especially with the computers and things, so, and the internet. But we do offer some programs to help enhance and help you get on deck as far as, you know, getting your GED and late child support payments and driver's license tickets, you know, and all of that stuff, getting that stuff back reinstated. We do our due diligence in the community as much as we can.
Maybe we should give Adrian Broner your phone number. But that,
oh.
that being said, Professor, would you like to step in here and ask Mr. Haynes some questions?
Most definitely. First and foremost, I'm Jabron Clemens, and thank you for being on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to just piggyback off a question JK asked you a little bit earlier, and you brought up something about politics and funding. Going forward with our economy and what's going on with the government shutdown and different things of that sort, and I look at the boxing as a poor man's sport, and things with me and JK have discussed in the past about, you know, the changing of the time with so much entrepreneurship now these days and so many avenues that other people can go instead of running to boxing gyms to put money in their pockets. Now, with government shutting down and a lot of funding being shut down, do you feel that will kind of push more poverty people back into those boxing gyms going forward due to this government shutdown?
Well, with this government shutdown and a lot of programs being ousted, you know what? If they don't flood back into these gyms, they will become creative one way or another, whether it's negative or positive. We will see different businesses, different hustles, different ideas, creative ideas coming up. You know, adversity is something else when it's up on your back. You get real creative when that fire is on you and when that stomach is growling. So I got a feeling that we made it through slavery. So I know we can make it through this here. And you know, I don't know if you as old as I am, but you know that government cheese they used to give back out in the Reagan era, that saved my life a couple times. So we can live on the bare minimum and still have a good time. And, you know, back in them hard times, we were more family-orientated back then, too, as well. You know, man and woman stayed together a little bit longer, you know, and raised their families together, you know, during them hardship times. So, you know, this may, I say it's a bad thing, but something good is going to come out of it because you need the positive, you need negative to, you know, and positive in order to create movement or anything. So I think we're going to be fine. We will not fall by the curbside. No way. We haven't yet, and we won't.
And with you being part of something to help development, what I've noticed lately, and this weekend was another example of lack of development, as in Deontay Wilder, his younger brother, Marcellus Wallace, don't have an amateur background, was on an undercard, got a lot of publicity, in a, you know, even though it wasn't televised, and he lost a fight that was supposed to be like basically a warm-up fight or you know, just a walk in the park, and he sustained a knockout. What do you think we can do going forward to get these guys to build an amateur career so they won't have to take these major setbacks in trying to become a professional fighter? And some fighters never come back. They walk away from the sport because they're discouraged. We don't have hero stories like Bernard Hopkins, who lost his first fight, or Manny Pacquiao being knocked out early in his career and becoming a Hall of Famer.
I heard that. I didn't actually see the fight, but I heard Deontay Wilder's little brother got knocked out this weekend. And I look at that as, you know, see, you, you must fail before you actually can succeed. And, you know, for a person to sit up and say they never failed, that's the person that never even tried. So he's a success just by even getting on television and getting national coverage. Now, he got knocked out in the process, but now it's time to go back to the drawing board. Hopefully somebody recognized that, you know, that he's lacking some experience, and they step up and try to mold him and sharpen him. You know, he just came out the fire, so he's ready now. He's ready to be molded right now. Don't let him cool off. Take him and mold him and sharpen him up and put him back out there. He's already successful just by making it to national television like that. He already been set an example for some kid out here, whether it's in his state or another state or even in another country. He done planted a seed that anybody can do it. Anybody can get it too in that ring. But he got out there. He's out there. He planted a seed. He might have planted a seed for the next great world champion. We never know. But the thing is he got out there, he took the risk. Now, hopefully somebody recognizes what Lil Wilder did, younger Wilder did, and get out there and call him up and say, hey, let us help you. Let us do this. We're going to take you off the shelf for a minute. We're going to sharpen you up, and then we're going to let you come back. And then you can cut heads. You know, you're messing with knives. You're going to cut yourself first before you learn how to cut anything else.
Most definitely. But now, an average Joe like myself may not get that same opportunity because my last name isn't Wilder. So to those fighters out there that doesn't have an inside connection to the game and might got a path to get in those positions, you know, how do we reach out to those type of fighters? Because everybody's not going to have a Marcellus Wallace chance, you know, especially only having 7 amateur fights, you know, to be
right
on that type of stage.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, for him to be on that stage like that, it was probably a little bit premature. But if someone turned pro too early in their career, just the name alone is not going to win championships. So it would be honest to say that they should actually start out slow and carefully until they get the necessary experience that they need. For an average Joe coming into this sport with limited amateur experience, I highly advise not to do it. But, you know, people out here, you know, they need money. Like you said, this is a poor man's sport. And when bills are due and whatnot, you know, a poor man will do what he have to do to get that disconnect notice off his counter. But when you're coming into this sport, you have to be careful. You have to not jump at every dollar and cent that you see. You have to be careful. You have to be calculated. There's always a when, where, and who, and what time. Always. You have to take that in consideration because you just may not be ready. You may be ready. You have to be careful coming into this sport because this sport is not a game. You can't lose your life. So you have to know what you're doing or you will get hurt. And this is one of the main reasons why Team Certified, we take our time. We're not in a rush to get out there and run up on them sharks out there because that's some deep water out there. You got Canelo Alvarez, dangerous. You got Daniel Jacobson. You got the fighters like that, the Lomachenkos, and then you have Pacquiao. I call him, well, the hood and adopted him now. We call him Tupac now. But, yeah, you have guys out there like that. Those guys are sharks out in deep water, and they've been out there for a while swimming. So they know some tender meat when they see it. So you don't be in a rush to get out there. This professional game, it has classes. You have your freshman class, your sophomore, your junior, and your senior. The seniors is on the stage right now. They're the ones that got the light right now. There is no need for me to run my freshmen up on them seniors because they're going to barbecue us. So we're going to take our time and walk to where we need to be in this sport. And eventually we'll become seniors. Our time is going to come. But in the meantime, leave them people alone. Let them finish their jobs and retire. And our class will slowly come on up. We freshmen right now. Maybe in a couple years we'll be sophomores or juniors. Eventually,
well,
we will be seniors in the game.
Most definitely. Sticking with development, and I'm just stepping back to last week's card. Did you have the chance to see the Manny Pacquiao Broner card last week?
Yeah, I got a chance to see it.
Okay. Now, the problem that I had with last week's telecast, because with this show, we always like to talk about growing the sport, giving people chances, getting exposure. And last week, there was a lot of filler where they just showed the weigh-in and leading up to the Manny Pacquiao fight when there was more than an opportunity to give these fighters a chance to be on television where it was undercards being fought or they fought a little earlier in the day that they could have put on television for fans to get to know who these fighters up and coming are, because casual fans, they only look for who's the big star. But if in that setting where there's a lot of fight parties going on, different things, you don't think people would have been more engaged to the TV to see somebody letting their hands go instead of just watching something a lot of people already saw earlier in the week? What's your thoughts on
that? Well, you know, and I think what you're talking about, I think Floyd Mayweather and the Money Team thought about that as well. So what they did was they had they gave a fight in Vegas a day before that Broner Pacquiao fight. And to my understanding, they gave it for free just for, you know, the people, the up-and-coming fighters to get the exposure and, you know, to mingle with the fans that was in town. And, I right then and there, that gave me a whole different perspective on the Mayweather family. I mean, they are some thinkers. And, he gave them opportunity. But I understand also what you're saying, that it was some free slots on television where they could have featured some up-and-coming fighters, some potential prospects and or some prospects, but they didn't. Reason being is probably because of the cost. Everything is so inflated now. You know, so they compare the cost versus the views. That's what they're comparing right now. Everything ends in cost. Now, if they had a prospect up and coming that he's got good views and things like that, yeah, they would have popped him on TV real quick. But, you know, if you don't have any good views or, you know, any organization or anything like that behind you that can be marketed to the fans, then you're going to have a problem in this sport right now. And then the crap talking and stuff, especially, you know, with the black man and stuff like that, the crap talking and the angriness and all of that stuff. That stuff is so cliche now. It's kind of, I ain't going to say it's worn out right now. You know, the angry and the cursing folks out and stuff like that. Come on now, it's time for us to go ahead and bring some class back into the sport. So, and I think that's what the fans is looking for right now. Looking for some young leaders, you know, to come up, and we have enough rowdy people out here. Our music is rowdy enough, but, you know, we have enough people misbehaving in front of the cameras. You know, we need to put a cease on that right now and, you know, discover another way to market to the fans. I'm pretty sure if I was a fan, I'd be afraid to walk up to some of our athletes because I'd be afraid that I'm going to get my phone slapped out of my hand or assaulted or something or cursed out or something, you know. And it shouldn't be like that. We should be class acts. And that's one of the things that's it used to pay in the sport, but now it's starting to kill the sport now because there's too much of it going around.
And
but,
one last thing.
We good. Mm-hmm.
One last thing before I let you go, and I appreciate your time, and I'm glad you just brought that point up. That leads to my last question. Do you see boxing ever having something similar to, like, NFL or NBA where when amateurs becoming a professional fighter, right, we have a program with molds them and teaches them about media, coaching them on media, coaching them on professionalism. They have these rookie camps. Do you think boxing would ever have something of that such?
Right there. That's a creative job right there you just created. That's a job right there. Yep. Someone can create a business off of what you just said. Right there. You know, holding courses like that. That would be awesome. If someone would hold a course on how to behave, you know, proper behavior, proper what you call it, ethics.
Basically PR.
Right.
PR.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You learn how to, you know, mingle with the public and stuff, and you know, you want the fans to love you to death. You don't want them scared to death. You know, these people, you know, they're buying your tickets. They want to come see you. You know, they want a treat. They don't want to feel afraid. Pay to feel afraid. They don't want to do that. You know, but excuse me. There's a few things that we have to tighten up. And I'm talking about as a general sport. I'm just not talking about just, you know, one ethnic group right now. But something like that would be very, very handy in this sport. Just because it's a barbaric sport don't mean that you have to be a barbarian all the time. You leave that warrior in the ring. You don't take him home with you. But, yeah, there should be some courses or things like that so we can learn how to separate the two and define each side. So, yeah, that is a good idea, actually. Excellent idea. Now, I don't know if they had this back in the past, but they definitely need something like that now.
Most definitely. Well, I appreciate your time. I'm not going to chop up all the time. I know we only have you for a limited amount of time, so I appreciate your knowledge, and I will love to have you back on the show anytime going forward. We can get update on your program going forward and the progress. And I'm Jabron Clemens, and I'll throw it to JK.
Okay, right. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Mr. James, a couple more questions for you before we let you go. I mentioned that you were the CEO. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about the members of Team Certified and, you know, perhaps some of the boxers that you represent. I know we've had Akeem on the show, and we've also made plans to have Mr. Isaiah Vanell on the show. So, why don't you tell us a little bit more about Team Certified?
Okay, we are an organization, and, you know, I don't know. But we just so happened that we've branched out, you know, literally worldwide. I mean, it started out small, and then it just took off to the point where, you know, I needed help, you know, with managing the fighters. Now, we have a manager that does a beautiful job. I wouldn't have been able to do any of this without M. Tally. I mean, she's a hard worker. She's very punctual. I mean, she gets things done right away, and she can think on her feet. I also have a gentleman. He's an actor. He's also a professor at Alverno College. His name is Thomas Reed. He's my chief financial officer, you know, and he's busy. He's behind the scenes working. We have Thomas Moreland and several other individuals that's working within his organization. So it's just not me by myself. I basically have a one-track mind, so I have different people in different positions to make sure everything is tight. As far as like our fighters and things like this, so many of us, we have Muhammad Asuli in Morocco, Africa. We have Ricky Batiste, I'm sorry, he's in Honduras. And we have in Mexico, we have fighters also in Mexico that's up under our subsidiary company. Is called Diablo Promotions, and that's headed up by Pablo Lira and Jose Eduardo, the Mexican Diablo Rodriguez. We have some good fighters. We have Andre Bird. You know, of course, you know, you have Akeem Certified Black. You know, he's a story within himself. I mean, this kid has been through a lot, you know, and very strong kid. We have, of course, Isaiah Vernell, and we have some new fighters coming on board as well. That would be Willie Giles. We have James Ballard. We have Julio Garcia, Kevin Garduño, that's making his debut, hopefully August, March the 30th. And, it's just so many of them. We got Kiwan Hill, he's up and coming. We got William Langston, who just won probably his last amateur fight last night. All these fighters is coming together to achieve, you know, one goal, and that's to be as successful as they can. But I couldn't have done any of this without my staff, none of this. So I really give high praises to them. And Thomas Moreland, I get, you know, he's the elder out of all of us. And, you know, I'm still kind of young, so when I get, you know, overzealous or something like that, you know, he gives me some advice, you know, of things that he didn't live through and stuff like that, and calms me right down. So it's definitely an oiled machine now. Team Certified is, it started out as a baby. I pumped money into it. You know, you got to feed your child, and, you know, and you got to baby it. You got to watch it all the time, you know. And before you look up, you know, your child is making decisions for itself, is thinking for itself, is able to definitely defend itself. And sometimes, you know, my baby talks back to me. So, you know, all I can do is just listen, you know, because I don't know everything. So the company has grown and it has branched out. We have people like Dan Hewitt working with us over there in the UK, which is a blessing on our media side. We were blessed enough to have the ABO organization, American Boxing Organization, taking interest in us, and we actually captured so far two of their titles. And we plan on having some more title bouts. It depends on if we can get the fighter sanctioned or not. So we're just waiting on a word from that. Juan Curiel, I mean, he's been great with working with us and helping us, showing us the ropes, because, you know, we don't know everything. We're still new to a lot of things. And, you know, and now we have you and your organization, you know, helping us. So we are growing. and I'm loving what I see. But like I said at first, this organization is for the underdog fighter. And what we're doing is we're building the brand. So anyone out there will see that this brand has its own fan base to bring to the table. And if they want us on television, they know that we'll get the views that they need to keep us on television. That's what all of this is about. We representing that fighter that didn't get properly represented in the amateurs. Maybe because of financial reasons or whatnot, but, you know, whatever it is, we are here. We got the fan base for that underrepresented and supported fighter. We have it. Team Certified, that's what we are about. And that's,
right,
that's
so
basically it in a nutshell.
Well, no, because you haven't told everybody where they can find you on social media. And you also have to make sure you give our audience the last final thoughts for the evening also.
Yes, okay. You can find us at www.teamcertifiedpromotions.com. That's with an S.com. You can go over there on that website and you can visit. And also, you can also send me a friend request on Facebook, and that's Ernie, E-R-N-I-E, Haynes, H-A-I-N-E-S. And that's how you can peek in and see a lot of the things that that we're into. And my final words for the fans out there is, you know, never stop believing. In this life, you're going to get more no's than yeses, and you're going to get more laughs than not. You know, feed off the negativity and expect people to laugh at whatever you're doing, because everything you start doing, it's going to look funny. It's going to look funny, but then once it starts to shape and take form, then those smiles turn into concerned looks, and that's what happened with us. And once that happens, you just stay in your lane, stay humble. Most of all, you stay humble, and you continue to build your dream. Do not let anyone tear your dream down. No one. If you're going to tear it down, you tear it down yourself, but then you rebuild it. You refine it. But you let no one tell you anything. This is America. This is still America. You can still do what you want to do within the confines of the law. Stop waiting for tomorrow. Just do it. And that'll be my final words to the fans, you know, out there. We love them. We love them. And do not accept no for an answer, because we don't. Certified worldwide.
Well, thank you so much, sir, and we look forward to having you back on the show, as Jamron said.
All right, hey, and thank you. I really appreciate y'all having me on. What a blessing.
No problem.
Okay, I'll talk to y'all later. Till next time.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Well, Jabron, Mr. Haynes was certainly enthusiastic, very, I would say optimistic. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I love them. Just the simple fact of I love people who don't know everything, and I feel that I'm that way. Like, I'm always inquisitive. I'm always willing to learn, and I don't think I know everything. And I feel people like that can definitely make it far, because you're always willing to learn, you know. And I took away that he don't have a problem with giving people props when props is due. Because sometimes people will be like, oh, me. And he said, no, I can't do this without my team. And what we have to realize, that's life. We can't raise a village, you know, without that family, that community, and that bond. And that's something that I took away from him, that you know, he seems very loyal also, and something that's not privy in today's life, that people are not loyal. So I like that, and to give him the underdog the opportunity to become someone, you know, I really appreciate that, because people are always just looking for that diamond in the rough, you know, looking for that great thing, that great jewel. And sometimes, you know, it, like he said, it's a baby. You have to groom it and raise it, and then allow it to be able to make decisions on its own and become its own. So, you know, I love that. We need more of that in the sport, and we need more of it and just life in general.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, and that's you know, why we are also part of Team Certified in our own little minor way, which you know, we provide the radio shows, the platform, and we also started KO Publicity, but that's a different time to talk about. Anyway, let's. I got to start with the Thurman fight. And Scully said that he wasn't, you know, against a journeyman. He thought that Keith put on a very good performance. Once again, I got to go back to the judges. Now, I'm not saying that I thought he won every round, but I don't see where the fight was close enough for Josecito to have come out ahead on any card. I keep kind of stressing this or talking about it, and maybe I'm just talking the empty air, but haven't the fights that we've seen through last year and the beginning of this year shown to us that perhaps some of our judges need a tutorial or something?
Yeah, and what card stuck out to you the most? Was it I think it was like 117 to 109 or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about the card that they had Josecito winning. I think it was one.
No, it was no card had him winning. It was only one card that was a draw, 113-113.
Right. That's the one I'm talking about. That's the one I'm talking about. And I mean, what six rounds did you see Josecito winning?
Well, actually, for it to be a draw, he would have to at least win, seven rounds? He would have to win seven rounds. Because remember, he got knocked down in the second round.
Right. So he had the two. So he had the two round. Yeah. So he had a 2 point. Yeah. Point deficit
right,
to make
so
up. Yeah.
Yeah, so he would have to win at least seven rounds to come even. And I didn't see seven rounds. It was a gutsy performance, which I already knew and I predicted going into the fight that it wasn't going to be an easy fight for Thurman, and it was going to be a tough outing. Josecito Lopez is a strong and durable fighter. And, I mean, we just, yeah, I'm going to tell you, the draw card didn't really get to me. You know, I wouldn't argue that, okay, it's a draw. All right. Now, that 117-109 card is the one that has me a little puzzled. That it's like, Basically, you had Thurman winning every round, pretty much almost.
Well, that's why I said, before I started, I wouldn't say anybody won all of the rounds. that's at least, 10 out of 12?
Yeah, I would give Cito a little more credit than that. But overall, man, I love the fight. I love the fight. I feel that Cito's stock went up, and I feel that Thurman's stock went up because the simple fact that a lot of fighters is going to be upset if Thurman gets this Manny Pacquiao fight, because that's a big payday. And that's a fight that, they pushed for Crawford a while. Danny Garcia was brought up about Manny Pacquiao in the past. And even Amir Khan, Amir Khan wanted Pacquiao. And to see Thurman be out of the ring for 3 years and to come back and get the Manny Pacquiao fight, I think it would be a slap in the face to the other fighters that's been active, that's been busy. But at the end of the day, you can't take nothing away from his resume.
Okay. Scully had a couple of suggestions, and I'm going to run one of them by you. Now, he said that he thought Keith should take another tune-up fight before he would fight Pacquiao. Now, you mentioned all of the other, fighters, that have been in line. If you were Manny Pacquiao, who would you pick out of, the young guns? T'Challa, Keith Thurman, Sean Porter? Which would you rather see Keith fight first? Like you said, Manny Pacquiao is going to put butts in seats, and it's going to be a huge payday. But knowing how much people value their with a loss to Manny Pacquiao hurt Keith Thurman at this particular time?
No. Actually, I think for both opponents, for Manny Pacquiao and Keith Thurman, I feel they would be the best opponents for each other. For Keith Thurman, it's a winnable fight for Keith Thurman. It will be a high payday for Keith Thurman. And then you have to look at Keith Thurman's other options. Do you really want to come off of Josito Lopez's performance and get in there with Sean Porter? I don't think so. Do you want to get in there with Errol Spence after that performance? I don't think so. Do you want to get in there with Terrence Crawford after that performance? I don't think so. So the easiest fight to be made, because it's on the same side of the street, being managed by the same manager, it'll be easily made. And like I said, it's a winnable fight for Thurman. Now Pacquiao, you look at his options, the Sean Porters, the Danny Garcia, the Errol Spence, now Keith Thurman. I would think Keith Thurman would be the easier fight because Manny is looking at him as damaged goods. He's coming off a 2-year layoff. He still has to shake off ring rust. He did have some injuries before this fight. And from what I saw, he sustained another injury last night. It hasn't came out in public yet, but watch what happens in the next week or two, the information that come out, or if they try to keep it on the cuff, they keep it on the hush. But I think he sustained an injury last night, or a bumps and bruises. And I think Manny would try to capitalize on that. You know, you don't want a 100% healthy Keith Thurman fighting a 40-year-old Pacquiao. I think that would be a grueling fight for Pacquiao, because at the end of the day, Keith Thurman is a champion pedigree. He showed it last night when he had to dig down in certain spots where he was really hurt. And I think a 100% Thurman would definitely give Manny Pacquiao major problems, especially late in the fight, because Manny doesn't have the legs that he once had. So I think it'll be a big fight. And we got to remember, Manny's not going to be around long. So Earl, Terrence Crawford, Sean Porter, those guys can, Thurman can wait for those guys, because what? They're not going anywhere. They're not retiring within the next year or two. But Manny Pacquiao is. So you want to get that payday before possibly somebody upsets them, you know, or Thurman sustain another injury that will put him out for a long period of time. So that's my thought.
Yeah. Definitely makes sense. You know, that's why we went to the professor, because we wanted to know the answers. Let's see, which was the more entertaining fight for you? Was it not Adamidev?
His nickname is King Tug, for people who can't pronounce his name properly. King Tug.
Okay, King Tug. And the Munguia. Which fight were you more impressed with?
I wouldn't say more impressed with. I mean, both of the fights was action. It was action packed. And what I took away from it, that, you know, Munguia is still green. He still has to develop some more boxing skills and get his boxing IQ up there. He showed that he has a chin, he has some power, but once again, it was a man in front of him that was taking a lot of his shots. And that was always the question. What's going to happen when he's in front of somebody who can take his power? What does he do then? And that fight showed them that they need to go back to the drawing board and work on some things before you put him in there with the Jared Hurts and you know, the killer in the division. King Tug, I felt that he started out good. Later in the fight, he didn't capitalize on some things that, you know, he could have. He could have made the fight a lot easier for himself. But overall, it was a good performance.
Perhaps you have heard something about the reason why the Porter fight was moved from Las Vegas to StubHub Center.
I love Sean Porter, but this is the reality. The casual fans are not overexcited with Sean Porter fighting style. The average casual fan just seems that he's a wrestler type of guy that wrestles in the ring and, you know, headbutts and all that. So with that being said, that goes to butts and seats. And I feel like that they can build the card by throwing, you know, some Spanish guys on the card and putting it in the suburb where they can get a nice, you know, Spanish support and sell out suburb and make it an action-packed card. Whereas they would have had it in Vegas, we'd have been looking at an empty arena. You know, not that people wouldn't have showed up, but it wouldn't have been sold out. And where you could pack out the StubHub and make it packed to the top of the rafters with a couple of thousand people, make it look good on TV and exciting for the fans and, you know, make it a good-looking product, because you don't want to have it like a lot of these DAZN fights where, you know, there's a couple of thousand people in there and it's empty, where they have to try to pan the camera in real close so you don't see all those empty seats, and that just wouldn't be good for a world champion like Sean Porter.
Yeah, very, very interesting take there. Okay, kind of like that one. Scully was also talking about the amateur scene. What's going on in the city?
Amateur scene. Like I said, I haven't heard too much. But I did hear something with about Debella might be getting a deal soon with Broadway Boxing. So we will see Broadway Boxing hopefully soon back on television and possibly on primetime television.
All right. Well, hey, my man, as always, very good talking with you. Why don't you give us the latest news and, you know, what's coming off the wire?
Well, you know, after this weekend of fight this week, there should be a lot of buzz on who the up-and-coming opponent will be for Keith One-Time Thurman and having a mix in there with the welterweight division, because you have Terrence Crawford on social media taking shots at Thurman. So I would just say to the fans, you know, keep yourself glued to your TV, to your computer screen. And this week we do have more boxing on the way in Rochester here in New York that will be on Showtime Friday. Former opponent of Triple G, Dominique Wade, is back in the building. He will be fighting Ian Green. That will be once again in Rochester, New York on Showtime. And then we have Saturday, Sergio Garcia, that will be on Sky Sports and here in the United States on DAZN. He'll be facing Ted Cheeseman. And for our major fight fans, we have a big card coming up on ESPN and ESPN Plus Saturday, February 7th, where we will have Eldor Alvarez defending his light heavyweight title in a rubber match, a rematch versus Sergio the Crusher Kovalev. The card starts at 7 p.m. The main card starts at 10 p.m. Eastern time, where we have the co-feature and the main event. And if you don't have that app, I would advise you to sign up and download ESPN Plus, and it'll be on ESPN. So just be tuned in. It's going to be a great fight. We saw fireworks in the first fight with Kovalev hitting the canvas a couple of times, which, you know, Eldor Alvarez was actually on a comeback because Kovalev had a couple of strong rounds. So if you want some action-packed boxing, tune in this Saturday, February 2nd. With that being said, I'm Jabron Clemens with the Weekend Wrap. You can find me on Facebook. That's Jabron Clemens, J-A-B-R-A-N, Clemens, C-L-E-M-O-N. JK, let them know where they can find you.
Well, you can always find me right here on the Pugilist Corner. That's the name of our Facebook page. You can also catch us on Tuesday on the Dog Pound with Mr. K9 Buntridge. Brad Nelson will be making a big announcement about an upcoming event in April. And also, you can catch Mr. Nelson with his visit to the Mayweather Gym this weekend. So, always glad to talk to everyone on Sundays. We are working on going to video, and when we make advancements, you'll know about it. So thanks, everyone, for listening. I'd like to thank Mr. Ernie Haynes and Team Certified, and look forward to having a little brother, the heavyweight champ, back on next week, along with Iceman John Scully. So thank you, everyone, and don't forget to catch us next Sunday right here on the Weekend Wrap. Have a great weekend, everyone. See you next week.